Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This is Danny and Dusty.
Meringutan is going to be a thing.
You're not coining anything new.
With Danny Meringue and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
All throws with monkey sounds in there and call it good.
The old Danny Meringue pie.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
Yeah, this is going to be awesome.
The Fan.
Good afternoon. Hey, happy Monday, Danny and Dusty with you. What a football weekend that was. Happy Monday.
Hey, we made it, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, man, we footballed so hard this weekend. Yeah. Just all weekend long football.
It was a lot of really crappy good football.
I think all football is good football. I don't know. I don't know. That doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense what you just said there. That'll make sense to me. Where's my...
I love guys who like football. Guys who like football, they like me back.
It was all beautiful football.
Look, it wasn't that I didn't like it.
It was great.
It was just some bad football that pulled you in.
Yeah. What? Which football are you talking about?
Sometimes
more?
Football is bad. Just ask Dave Canales.
Yeah, if you're watching Carolina Panthers again, we got some issues, folks. We got some issues going on. I thought Saturday's football was great.
Yes.
You had great football on Saturday, especially here in the Northwest. That's really all I cared about.
Mm-hmm.
You had the Oregon and Oregon State, the rivalry game, Civil War. In Corvallis. The Apple Cup was fantastic.
Apple Cup was lit.
Go Cougs.
Down to the wire.
Cougs receiving votes now in the poll.
You did see, though, to your point, a lot of blowouts.
Yes.
A lot of blowouts. And why do we call close games ugly that we like expect to be blowouts? Because like that Georgia-Kentucky game.
That was ugly football.
No. That's great. It's defensive. People just like points.
No. I like a good
I know.
Slobber knocker.
Chicks dig the long ball.
But no. I like defensive games. That game was ugly.
There was one touchdown.
Yeah.
Only one.
No.
Came in the fourth quarter.
Last night's game. But Texans Bears was ugly. What was there? 22 penalties?
Yeah, a lot of penalties. That is ugly.
That's ugly, man.
There's a lot of penalties early. It's still early. Yeah. These guys aren't playing much. But also beautiful in that the Texans' defensive line just absolutely demolished the Chicago Bears.
Not the Bears. Caleb Williams.
No. I looked at that. The offensive line sure did get demolished.
I didn't see an offensive lineman get picked up and body slammed.
Caleb Williams didn't get hit as much or as hard as Baker Mayfield did.
Mayfield. That Danielle Hunter hit was.
Baker Mayfield got sacked 3 times by Aiden Hutchinson in the first quarter.
Yeah, it was
okay. Baker Mayfield got absolutely rocked. Yeah. When right before he ran his quarterback draw for a touchdown, Baker Mayfield was a damn dude. Baker Mayfield got lit up.
I've been coming around on Baker Mayfield.
Look,
I was not a Baker fan, but I'm coming around, man.
Do we have to have a conversation, Baker Mayfield?
Dude.
He played like a top 10 quarterback in the NFL last year. He is playing like a top 5 quarterback in the NFL right now.
Yes. Yeah. All of the stuff, all the juice, like, he's that, like, the one where, he's the guy that executives tell their owners about, like, what if he could be like Baker? A guy that's otherworldly talented, but it's just a basket case.
Yeah.
And you're like, no, we can change him. We can fix him. We can harness it. He's the one that they point to. He's the one that everybody uses to justify everything else.
Yeah. Baker sacked five times
for 39 yards. Good Lord. Yeah, Caleb was sacked 7.
Just teed off.
Sack numbers are up in the NFL, it feels like.
And then my man, he ran the ball too. He was toting the rock, Baker was. That was fun.
Tell you what, the Bucs were not.
Running the football?
Yeah. Not a lot of plays in that game.
But
for the Bucs.
Well, I mean, that's the NFL. Plays are limited. Plays are at a premium there. You had Jared Goff threw the ball a butt ton.
Yeah, 55 is a lot.
Yeah, he did. I love the weekend of football. I don't think there is ugly football. I think it's all beautiful football. And I think we saw a lot of it, except for the Carolina Panthers. That's ugly.
Are you reaching the point of like this is one of the worst teams we've ever watched?
No, we forget how bad the winless Lions and the winless Dolphins were. I mean, those were
bad.
If Bryce Young continued to play, they would be on that stretch.
Oh yeah, level. Bryce Young has been benched.
So,
for those wondering,
2 games into his sophomore season.
Yeah, well, it's that sophomore slump that they always talk about. And somehow he has slumped from his rookie season.
That I was expecting from C.J. Stroud, but I'm wrong there, too, apparently.
C.J. Stroud is incredible.
Yeah.
The Texans front office deserves an attaboy for what they went and did. That was a far better team.
I think the Panthers front office deserves a fruit basket from the Texans and saying thank you for making
taking
that
Bryce
decision.
Young. Yeah, making it easy for them. And the Bears still
quite possibly the worst trade in NFL history now. Like, it's going to surpass
the Trey Lance.
No. Herschel Walker.
Herschel Walker.
Trey Lance is still not it. Herschel Walker is the worst trade in NFL history, and it's not particularly close.
Yeah, if Caleb turns into a dude, and the pick that they use this year, because the Panthers still owe a second round pick to the Bears, if that turns into another dude, you have the potential for the worst trade in NFL history.
I'm okay with even saying it already is.
You think so?
Yep. They made a trade they didn't need to make.
Yeah, that's fair.
I mean, they didn't need to do it. Bryce Young would have been there for him.
Yeah, this is kind of like the...
Because everybody's like, oh, we'll just take CJ Stroud.
Yeah, this is a lot like the Boston Celtics and Philadelphia 76ers when the Celtics wanted one of the wings anyways. So them trading up to get Markelle Fultz was like, fine.
Okay.
Oh, no, please don't take Markelle.
Boom. Slap him right over the face. What a great weekend. And then we had drama. The bad may have been some really bad football, but the good was incredible. That Bengals-Chiefs game was incredibly fun to watch. The Apple Cup, incredibly fun. High drama. That Lions and Buccaneers game had drama at the end. So much damn fun. And now we're having all of the overreactions are happening today. It's all falling into place today.
I love week two, week three. That's when we start getting the ruh-roh.
Coaches are melting down. Mm. You've got panic moves left and right. I know who the next quarterback to be benched is going to be, and we'll have the audio from his coach today because, whoa, that was a doozy. We have so much football.
Yeah.
We're going to football so hard.
We're not going to get to everything today.
All right. Everybody have a good weekend. What'd you do?
Ran a bunch of errands yesterday.
Okay.
Had like a fall cleaning, as it were.
Okay.
Getting ready for basketball season because in 2 weeks, basically, my schedule goes to hell.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. That realization was there. But other than that, it was plugged into a lot of football.
Yeah.
A whole lot of football. Saturday was football all day long.
That's the way it should be.
Yeah.
That's life.
Wonderful.
We're all football all the time.
Yeah. My butt was firmly planted on the couch yesterday.
Yeah. I footballed so hard, I didn't see my kids from Thursday night until Saturday night at about 7:30.
Some would say doing that, right?
That's hard footballing.
I was footballing all day Friday, all day Saturday, and then yesterday footballed with my kids.
There you go.
We watched a lot of football yesterday. Mm. It was a glorious weekend.
That's the bonding.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah. Saturday, once I got home and sat down on the couch in there, my 7-year-old, she goes, "Dad, it's the Ducks and the Beavers."
Bam.
Yeah, she was stoked.
Which was it was such a weird feeling in such a weird kind of civil war that we had because you had...
You can't see the breath.
A non-conference Big Ten versus Pac-12 civil war in September where it was hot, the weather was nice, and the environment was so different. And we will unpack all things Ducks and Beavs. We're going to dive into the Apple Cup. We are going to dive into the weekend of college football, the weekend of the NFL, the benching of Bryce Young that came today. But more notably, we've got a lot of 2-0 teams and a lot of 0-2 teams across the league.
Indeed, 9-9.
Really?
9-0-2, 9-2-0.
And then the middle, which is what the NFL prides itself on.
Squishy.
Not a lot there. Not a lot there. So these are 14 1-1 teams.
Yeah.
18
well, 12,
teams.
Well, 12, because you have the...
because we got the game tonight. We have the game tonight. But that was one of the weird quirks of the season, the schedule this weekend. 14 of the 16 games this week had either a 2-0 or 0-2 teams playing against each other. And so there wasn't a lot of room in the middle for anybody else. I loved that end of that Chiefs and Bengals game. Not if you're a Bengals fan, probably a little tough, but there's
getting sick and tired of these Chiefs.
There is so much to unpack from that game alone. And then everything else across the world of the NFL. We got fun with audio everywhere. But where we got to start this bad boy off, 49-14, Oregon's offense comes to life against the Beavers. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
Feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nice one. Gabriel's got the roll 30, down the side 20. A block, inside the 5. Touchdown, Dylan Gabriel. All of a sudden, the running quarterback shows us he can run.
Dylan Gabriel flashing a little bit of speed. I still don't understand how he runs as fast as he does. His little legs just weren't.
Doesn't look right.
Doesn't have a lot of leg drive. No. Knees aren't getting very high, but my goodness, he found a seam and he went up the sideline, a 54-yard touchdown run, and the Ducks run away from the Beavs in Corvallis, 49-14. I think the big thing that everybody was wanting to see, they did see. The offense got humming.
Yeah, I'm sitting there watching that game. Oregon State has that 13-play death march down the field to score. And I went, Beavs coming to play. Oregon coming out after that drive and responding the way they did. Was it 7 straight drives they scored on?
They scored on every drive of the game.
Okay, yeah. So it was 7 straight.
Yeah, outside of the kneel down at the end of the half and at the end of the game, they scored on
the scoring drives, yes.
Every single drive.
Yeah. And I think regardless of how the rest of the game went, how they answered that drive coming out and scoring and not sputtering and not shooting themselves in the foot, that was such a big step in them kind of righting a lot of the wrongs that they had in the previous 2 weeks.
A lot of reasons why you saw that come to fruition. I was talking about this all last week. That rotation on the offensive line that had become the big talking point for everybody about this Oregon team, you didn't see any rotation.
No longer a rotation.
The offensive line that we saw going left to right, Josh Connerly to Nishad Strother to Poncho Laulu to Marcus Harper at right guard and Ajani Cornelius at right tackle, they have rushed for 350 yards in their last six quarters of football.
That's pretty good.
That they have played. And you go back to the negative plays that we saw in the Boise State game in the second half. Those two plays, the Dylan Gabriel snap that he fumbled, that he wasn't expecting the snap, that was without that rotation in the game. The Noah Whittington rush for a first down that was called back for a holding penalty, that was without that rotation in the game in that second half against Boise. You fast forward to where we saw the Ducks in Corvallis, and that offensive line, no sacks, no penalties. And Dylan Gabriel, as efficient as he was, he had all day to throw. I mean, that touchdown to Trayshon Holden, he was just sitting there just bouncing in the pocket for probably 4.5, 5 seconds, and then just was able to scan until Trayshon Holden came open. Protection was better. The efficiency of that offense, 16 explosive plays. You average nearly 9.5 yards per play in that game. That was the offense that I think a lot of people were expecting to see from Oregon.
Yeah, I think that's kind of more what they're leaned on now. And this isn't to take away from Dylan Gabriel, but the markets have kind of shifted away from Dylan Gabriel as far as like being one of the top three Heisman favorites. And I don't think that's a slight to him. I think the identity of this offense, as much as they have explosive guys on the outside and Stewart and Tez and Trayshon, like they have those guys. The identity of this Oregon team is going to be their ability to run the ball, to dominate what they against everyone else.
We saw a tweak stylistically to kind of what they were doing this week too, which we saw some false pullers. We saw, you know, the speed option that you saw with Dylan Gabriel and getting to the edges, the reverse to Trayshon Holden where you have false pull and then you come out and you're leading and getting to the edges. Oregon's offensive philosophy this week was more tailored to the guys that they have instead of kind of what they have been.
Yeah.
And it was something that Oregon State obviously took a very long time, actually couldn't adjust to.
No.
Because they're using their athletes in space a lot better. We saw more of the check with me's kind of that Gabriel touchdown run. I talked to him after the game and he was saying that I saw Will Stein basically stand on the field.
Mm-hmm.
During that play, they came out and empty, and they saw a look from Oregon State's defense that they liked. And how often did we see over the previous 2 years, especially with Kenny Dillingham, but even last year with Will Stein, Bo Nix would get things set, he'd look over, and then he'd check with the sideline. We saw a lot more of that and big adjustments being made formationally. Noah Whittington goes from receiver, goes into the backfield, they run that speed option, Gabriel, boom, 54 yards.
Yeah.
They are, because Nix and JPJ, center and quarterback combo that were reliable, two of the best in college football last year, they, I think, had a lot more leeway. And now you're starting to see they're coaching them, man. I mean, Will Stein is taking more of that. And Gabriel completing 15 passes in a row to start the game. I mean, he is efficient as all get out.
Oh, he's probably one of the three most efficient quarterbacks in the country. Again, I'm not saying
he is the most efficient.
Yeah, I'm not taking anything away from him. I just don't think you're going to see him be. I think a lot of people thought he was going to be Bo in the sense of ripping the ball 40 times a game and being hyper accurate, just 400 yard. I don't think that's going to be the identity of this team. I think it's going to be more mixed. I think you're going to see him use his legs. I think you're going to see them get.
Yeah,
more into the 53 and a third as opposed to
Oregon is
running everything through him.
They have and want to be really balanced. And last year, I think Bucky Irving also is a guy that we haven't been really talking about, that running backs room and what Bucky Irving meant to it. You saw the running backs going north and south a lot more against Oregon State. Mm-hmm. It was put your foot in the ground, commit to the hole, and you saw more explosive runs. There was a stylistic tweak that we saw from Oregon this week as far as how they were approaching, you know, there's not just their own scheme, but Oregon State's defense and what they thought they had superior athletes, and they did. And that was probably the most glaring thing that we haven't seen in quite like in a Civil War in a while is you athlete for athlete. There was a mismatch there between Oregon and Oregon
and that's
State.
That's when it happens when, you know, the DJs, the Boldens, the Mascarenhases, the Achilles, like all those guys, when you start going down the list dudes, that's the difference.
Well, let's not forget, too, like Oregon State was down two starting offensive linemen. Van Wells, late scratch at center. We know they lost their left guard after the San Diego State game. But they being down two starting offensive linemen, you saw...
when you're already thin.
That was a big factor in that game. And only 15 yards rushing in the second half. Well, look, Oregon's offense, or their defense, wasn't great out of the gate.
No. I mean, Oregon State looked like they were game in the first half.
The third down conversions in the first half, 6 of 9 for Oregon State, and they were keeping drives alive. But then you saw two of them in that first half. 47 of the 116 yards rushing came on McCoy scrambles, where the defense was caging him on the outside. So the edges were coming upfield, trying to keep Giovanni McCoy in the pocket, and basically funneling him back towards the middle where a linebacker could clean it up if McCoy wanted to scramble. We saw the 37-yarder on the opening drive where they had him at 3rd and 15. It looked like he was dead to rights. Mm-hmm. And then he steps up, makes the one linebacker miss, and the defensive line kind of did their job. He gets 37 yards on that one. There was another one where he had a 10-yard run, scramble in that first half. Very similar thing where they caged him. They funneled him to a spot. He made a guy miss, and boom, you get a 10-yarder. Outside of those two plays, Oregon's defense just bottled up Oregon State's rushing attack. 1.9 yards per carry in the second half, only 15 yards rushing. That second half, you saw just how good Oregon can play when it felt just like we were on repeat all past 2 weeks is, you know, if Oregon doesn't shoot themselves in the foot.
And you're just kind of waiting, particularly in the first half, I think you were waiting for that to happen. Like, oh, God. Because it was a close game in the first half.
Yeah.
And you're like, it wasn't antsy, but it was, you're sitting there waiting like, are they going to screw this up and this is going to be another tight game?
Yeah, you never got, when you score on those first, on every drive, you're just going, Oregon State has to play perfect.
Yeah. And that's what I thought the most important part of that game, singular part of that game, was them scoring after the death march. Coming out and going, we'll figure this out, but it doesn't matter. You've got to keep up with us, not the other way around.
Doing it quickly, too. Yeah. Doing it quickly. And Gabriel now, 84% of his passes he's completed on the season in 94 attempts through three games.
Pretty good.
So he's averaging 31 attempts per game. Mm-hmm. And he's completing 84% of his passes. He was dialed in again on Saturday in Corvallis. The interesting part of this was you take the game out of it because when Oregon only has three penalties for 36 yards. Mm-hmm. By the way, that roughing the passer call, that was one of the... He was completing his throwing motion when he got hit. And he didn't hit him in the head.
You sound like me with a tuck rule right now.
Well, that was bizarre.
No,
I'm with you. We were trying to figure it out in the stadium because we didn't have, you know, was it Mike Pereira? He was the rules official for Fox.
Yep.
What did he say about that?
He said it shouldn't have been a foul, period.
That's what we thought.
He said that is not roughing the passer.
Like the only thing that we could come up with like in the stadium was that they wanted to see if it was targeting. And so they threw the roughing penalty and tacked targeting onto it. Why didn't they just call targeting? Because you can pick up the targeting penalty. Yeah. The roughing was weird.
Yeah, it's
that was a bizarre move.
Because the review very clearly showed that he was in his throwing motion.
Yeah.
I know you can't technically review that, but why don't you just go, there's no flag on the play. I should have just say you threw
it down. Because they can't take away the flag.
Well, you can, though. You can go, I meant to throw
even,
the target.
I thought like, even Pereira said in the review that you can't pick up the flag.
You can pick up a targeting, but you can't pick up a roughing.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, you can't do that at all. So they, if you, she just would have called targeting in like an unnecessary, I think you can pick that one up. But the fact that they called it roughing, it was like, but where?
Yeah, my thing is like, you can, I think you can.
You should be able to.
I'm saying, gray area here, you can say, you could call it an official's mistake and say targeting. There was no flag for roughing or unnecessary roughness. It was just targeting. Like, it was a my bad situation. This was the flag for giving him the business.
Oh, like, yeah. You give the I misspoke initially. Yes, we're taking it all back
now. That's there.
that was look, one of the, we were sitting there going, well, what are they, at what point was this rough?
Look, okay. I reffed high school football for a couple years.
Get them hard.
Did plenty of varsity games, and there was more than a few times when you'd have a younger guy out there. Oh, I was the younger guy first couple years, where you'd be like, just kind of walk that one back of, we're just going to, no worries, no countsies.
Yeah.
Go over to the coach. Hey, look.
My bad. We're okay.
Like, you don't want me to call this, because if I call this, then it's this, and this, and this, and then I got to kind of find something somewhere else. You know, it becomes kind of a whole thing.
Man, but if you take that that would be two penalties for 15 yards.
Yeah.
Or so, 20 yards.
Yeah. Procedural. What was it? A holding and a.
Yeah. No. No holding penalties.
Is it no holding
penalties? No holding penalties for Oregon in the entire game.
Because Oregon State had a bunch of penalties.
Yeah. The only penalties that they had was an illegal block in the back on Terrence Ferguson.
Oh, that's right. Was that. No, it was
in the fourth quarter. Nope. It was a pass to Kenyon Sadiq, I believe.
Games are blending together in my head now.
And then a face mask penalty, which was 15 yards. Mm.
Yeah,
so,
Beavs had six penalties for 65.
Yeah. Yeesh. But they cleaned up the penalties, which had been plaguing them. No turnovers. Didn't shoot themselves in the foot. That was a pretty complete performance by Oregon. Now, Research Stadium was a different one. And this kind of goes to the Oregon offense being efficient. And I want to get your guys' thoughts, because you guys saw it on TV. Being in there, and if anybody was in the building, you can text us on the Vancouver 4 text line, 503-864-6326. Got some thoughts on Reeser, because it wasn't quite the environment I was expecting after Rust with SportsCenter. Oregon's 49-14 win over Oregon State was the first that we had since the split. No longer conference foes, no longer Thanksgiving weekend.
Everything's different.
It had a different feel to it in September. And usually, like, when you go to a big game, when you go to a rivalry game, I got to the stadium at, like, 7:30 in the morning.
Because you're a masochist?
Well, because I was working.
Oh, right.
But usually you'll see a lot of the tailgates, the early risers, the people who, for big games,
you
want to
hate hard
early. Yeah.
Yeah, you want to hate hard early.
It starts early.
Look, if you're going to be a true hater, you don't just, like, roll lightly into hating.
It ramped up as the day got on, but it wasn't like you could feel that energy from the get-go around Research Stadium. What was the feeling like as watching that game on television for the loudness? Did the crowd look full? Because I can tell you it was not.
It didn't. And this, you know, we talked about this heading into the weekend, is there were so many Beaver fans that were... Apathy was a word that was used a lot. Now, there was a lot of fans that were like, I hate them more now, but it felt like there was a real division in the Beaver world of, like, should I care about this game? Is this something that, you know, I should, you know, put my heart into? And it wasn't dead in there on TV, but it was not amped. I'm locked in on, again, I keep bringing up that 13-play drive, because I was like, okay, hey, Beavs are game. They're matching them shot for shot right now. And in a moment that they needed that drive, they got it. Let's see what they can kind of do with it. And normally, I think after that, you punch that in after that long of a drive and you just death march down, you kind of get the roar, the just a wave kind of comes over onto the field. Didn't feel like it.
Didn't
feel like it at all.
They got a little ramped up for that, but I'll give Beef fans credit for this. When is a stadium, a college football stadium, the loudest for the home team. Third down.
Yeah.
Third down. You know, especially in Reser where they play the chainsaw.
Is backed up in an end zone kind of a deal, yeah.
Oregon did not have a third down on offense until the nine-minute mark of the second quarter.
Yeah, when you only have, what, six total third downs in the game, it's tough.
Only two in the first half. So, like, you mentioned those two drives to start, right? Mm-hmm. They were in 24 plays on their first two drives where they miss a field goal and then get a touchdown. Mm-hmm. Outside, even that, when Oregon got the ball in response, it was they march down in short order. Mm-hmm. They score. It's quick. It was decisive.
You just cut the legs out from anything that was possibly better.
And any of that momentum just kind of went, and it was done. Loudest I heard that place, and another props to Beav fans, was when Atticus Sappington came out for the extra point on the first touchdown of the game. That was probably the loudest that the stadium was all day long. They booed him relentlessly. And Central Catholic kid transfers from Oregon mm-hmm. State to Oregon. Yeah, use that hate in your heart. Yeah,
familiar with it.
He knew it. He knew it heading into that. That's exactly what he was going to get. But I will say the corners of the end zone are the corners on the now the old side. It's now the old side of Reser. They were pretty empty up in the upper parts. There were seats scattered throughout the stadium that were not filled throughout the course of the game. And there were a lot more Duck fans than I was expecting to be there. And that's something that you and I had talked about. We kind of felt like that was how it was going to be. But we didn't, like, there was always the Beaver fans that would always chime in and say, no, we're going to show out. We're going to be loud. We're going to be angry. It didn't really feel that.
It didn't have the juice.
No.
It didn't.
No. And that, that sucks.
It's a bummer. It's like, yeah. Come on, man. Like, I get Beav fans, you know, apathy about this. Hate harder.
Yeah.
It's so much more fun to hate harder as opposed to being ambivalent.
I would take the advice from Danny. You do this.
Oh, God, it's so much more. Oh, the Raiders suck. Guess what? Still beat the Broncos last year twice.
Well,
suck it, Broncos fans.
You're a petty Olympian.
Yes.
Like, this is what you do.
It's so much more fun that way.
Yeah.
It's so much. Look, Raiders going, I wanted them to go winless this year. They win yesterday. They beat the Ravens. I'm like, oh, crap. Like,
yeah.
I don't want that. But the next thing I go, well, they can win two more games this year, just both times against the Broncos. Why? Because it'll piss them off. It'll make me happy.
Yeah. I thought.
I have a lot of hate in my heart.
Yes.
Did they mention this on the broadcast? Because I thought it was a cool little aside, and I thought all of them played really well. Mm. Did they mention who the captains were for the game?
If they did, I didn't catch it.
Yeah. Oregon sent out four players that are from the state of Oregon as their captains.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Patrick Herbert, Sheldon High School.
Mm-hmm.
Tatum Tuioti, Sheldon High School. Mm. Bryce Betcher, South Eugene. And then Atticus Sappington they sent out as a captain.
That's cool.
Central Catholic,
also,
and former Beav. They sent those four guys out to be captains for the game, which...
Not a ton of Oregon players on the roster that are in the rotation.
In all of... Yeah, those four are very important.
Yeah. No, you're wrong. There's Oregon important. Guys that are in the depth, but as far as, like,
well, I mean,
impact guys.
And Oregon guys showed out on both sides of the ball. Trent Walker from Beaverton High School, Noga from Hidden Valley High School, the tight end from Lake Oswego, and I think they have another one from Clackamas for Oregon State. Played really well, but Bryce Betcher played out of his gourd in that game. Damn near picked off the first play of the game. Broke up a play, on second down, too, on the opening drive. Stopped McCoy from picking up a third down on a run. He was all over the field. He has been playing lights-out football. 13th-round pick for the Houston Astros. Gold Glover in the outfield for Oregon's baseball team.
Mm-hmm. Pretty good athlete.
Pretty good football player, too.
Real quick.
And then led the team in tackles, 10 tackles.
Oregon's defense.
Yeah.
They continue to get pressures. They're just... Are you worried about them not being able to get home?
Not in this game, because the design was to cage McCoy in.
Okay. Because,
right? Like, and that's what Tatum Tuioti had, I think, seven tackles.
Mm-hmm.
He was really good in the run game. But the whole goal of their defense on the edges in this week was just contain McCoy, funnel him back to the middle. Mm-hmm. I mean, they got him for two sacks, but they were conceding, we'll meet him at the line of scrimmage, or if he's going to roll out, then we play a catch. And McCoy, to his credit, just was sliding up, and he took off. He's dangerous, man. Mm-hmm.
He's an athlete, man.
He is not a run-first quarterback.
Yeah, but if you open a lane for him, he'll go.
He'll do it. So I'm not too concerned about that.
I'm raising an eyebrow to it because it's three straight weeks of pressures are there. Yeah. Don't be wrong. Sacks are not the only measure of effective pass rush, but getting that many pressures.
Yeah.
And when you look at the scale of pressures versus getting all the way home, I do squint a little bit. Like when you play Ohio State, like, I feel like there's got to be a little bit more juice there. I'm interested to see kind of what that looks like.
I would be more concerned if teams were racking up yards against him.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think Oregon leads the country in deflections, mm-hmm. past deflections this year. So if you are getting pressures but you're not getting home, what's the result of that?
Yeah, are they speeding up a throw and the defense is closing?
Are they completing passes and getting chunk yards through the air? And we haven't seen that yet. I mean, they're giving up 164 yards a game through the air.
Granted, quarterbacks they've played are not.
No.
Quarterbacks who typically throw the ball.
Nope. Nope. But you're also looking at quarterbacks are only completing 50% of their passes.
Which, yeah, no, and again, the deflections are so real. Like that's a big thing.
They've been really good in the back end of the defense. I think that what you're saying, you can't start raising that eyebrow, because what does it look like when you play against an Ohio State? You're going to have to get home, and you're going to have to make sure you're getting the quarterback down, because when they have receivers like Ohio State does, those guys are going to be more prone to getting open. But right now, I'm looking at it when they're only completing 50% of their passes and only 164 yards per game.
You live with that.
You live with pressures in not getting sacks right now. Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely sounded like you said not getting sacks right now.
Oh, well, I mean, they shouldn't be. I mean, you're trying to get to the quarterback.
Are you saying sacks are for winners?
No, I'm just saying that, like, that'd be very awkward for the viewing audience if that was the case.
Shannon Shaw was having sex.
Hey, that's a new drop.
That's so great.
Yeah. Yeah, we got.
Shannon Shaw was having sex.
Kaelin Clark is white.
I'll get it in.
Wow. Wow. Where's our other Stephen A? I think we changed the coding on his. We have another one. Where's the you can't stay off the weed?
Ooh, I don't know about that one.
We have that one in here somewhere too.
How do you do that?
God, that scared me.
What the hell is going on? Shannon Shaw was having sex.
Mm. Eligible!
I'll get it in.
Sounds good, right?
All right. Well, there we go.
Good luck.
Transition.
Mm.
We will. Not quite sure how we get out of this. How about an ass whooping?
There you go.
How about we go to that? We'll put a pin in the Civil War discussion. Oregon beats up on Oregon State, 49-14. We'll have Apple Cup coming up, but sometimes you just got to be brutally honest with how a game goes. Next on The Fan. Hey, you listen to the Ducks post game show right here on The Fan? You listen to that? You listen to that? After every Ducks home game?
The what in the
road game? Ducks post game show. Mm. You listen to that?
I heard you on it.
Yeah, that's right. Mm. That's right. Well, if you were listening to the Ducks postgame show, not you, Danny,
or
you, Rust, you guys are not eligible to win this.
Womp womp.
If you were listening and you heard Ryan Buckley and Will Ortner give out the Bellagio's Pizza's very best player of the game, text right now to 503-864-6326. To enter for your chance to win a free pizza at Bellagio's, head over to 1080thefan.com for complete details. Send us that name of the player for the Bellagio's Pizza, very best player of the game.
Do it
to now. 503-864-6326. Quick little whip around the world of college football on the national stage, Alabama finally went north of the Mason-Dixon line
and worked out for
beat
pretty well.
The brakes off of Wisconsin.
Yeah.
42-10.
That was not close, and they shoved that ball down their throats.
Yeah, they sure did.
It was not a let's throw all over them kind of situation. It was, let me introduce you to my offensive line.
Yeah, yeah.
And to do that to a Wisconsin team is not a simple thing.
No. Hey, look, and this is the great thing. Kalen DeBoer's a damn good coach.
Yes.
Nobody is questioning that, but everyone's like, oh, you can come and just whip that ball around there in Tuscaloosa. Nope, wrong. He, a great coach, will tailor his offense to what they do well.
Mm-hmm.
And they run the ball really dang well. And I thought that was going to be a better game, especially when Wisconsin looked like they were moving the ball early. And then first drive, Tyler Van Dyke, boom, knee injury.
Yeah.
And that sucks for them.
Yeah.
And that just kind of, they ended up getting a field goal out of that drive, but they get beat 42-10. And Luke Fickell had a dose of honesty in his post game press conference. And I am on board with Luke Fickell now.
Well, I'll give you guys the same message I just gave them. If you haven't had your ass whooped before, you just did. And it hurts, and it's not easy. But in this game, that's going to happen. And it's a part of the game. It stinks. It doesn't mean you didn't work hard. It didn't mean you didn't prepare. It means you didn't get the job done. And whether it's a one-point loss or a 34-point loss, it's a good old-fashioned ass whooping at home, which hurts.
They got woodshedded.
Yeah, they did.
34 carries, buck 81, three touchdowns. It was Jalen Milroe taking and running, and then Jam Miller between that one that he broke, the 34-yarder for the touchdown. He hit that thing and he exploded through the secondary, and it was like,
I am.
That's different.
I am pro people naming their children Jam.
Oh, it's a great name.
We got Jam Miller and Jam Griffin. Like, it's great name.
Both running backs.
Yeah, yeah.
Is it short for anything, or are they just Jam?
I don't know. James? Jamarcus? What was Urkel's name?
Jaleel?
Oh, no. Jaleel. No. I thought it was
Jam. Jaleel. Short for Jamarian.
Jamarian.
Yeah.
Hey. See? This is a strong name. Jam.
Mm-hmm.
Jam Meringue. Can't do that.
No.
You can't do that.
It's a lemon
you
jam.
You can't do that. Yeah, you can't do that. Jam Rust.
Rust
no,
jam?
I don't think you can do that because that's like a lock.
Yeah.
It's like a you got a lock that's jammed and rusted
sounds
over.
Sounds like you need some WD-40 for that.
Jam Hera?
Jam Hera works.
You can roll with Jam Hera. I'm working with the two people where it doesn't work with your name.
Yeah. Well, I mean you could maybe go Jamarian.
Yeah, Jamarian Meringue. Yeah. Ooh.
See?
That sounds like a good pie.
Right? See, that one kind of rolls out.
Jamarian Meringue sounds good.
Or it's like Jamaican. Like, are you Jamarian and Meringue?
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, Jamarian Meringue.
I'm pretty certain that'll get you fired most places.
Let's have a red stripe, huh?
Nailed it, Rust.
Now is when we throw our heads back and laugh.
God, I forgot. I love the Hooray Beer commercials.
Georgia got a scare, too, in Lexington.
That game was an abortion.
They almost
Good Lord.
Lost to Kentucky. And
Kentucky's a thorn in their side.
Georgia is, they're good for one or two of these every year, where you're just like, what team is this? Last year is week three against South Carolina. Almost got beat in South Carolina. Also, Georgia Tech late in the year last year.
Yeah.
Almost lost to Georgia Tech where...
Run the ball.
Brenton Key was calling the shots, right? So, they were good. They're good for one or two of these every year. 2022, they almost lost to Missouri and Kentucky again. Like, on the road, these games early in the year, their first SEC road game, they usually kind of... just sleepwalk their way through. And that's the best description that you can have is, boy, they sleepwalk their way through.
Yeah, I mean, difference in this game ended up being the one turnover.
Yeah, well, they need to play as fast as they drive.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, 106 miles an hour last week.
Take away their cars, telling you.
Yep.
Burn all the Hellcats.
Yep, Yep, yep. Meanwhile, Texas had a big injury. Quinn Ewers goes down.
Oblique and...
We'll go core injury. Oblique injury.
And he was playing really well, too.
Well, yeah, Texas San Antonio. Don't think that they're going to be the bid for the group of five.
No.
Have a feeling that's not going to be in the cards for Texas San Antonio. They got mopped by Texas, and that was a statement game because Ewers goes down, Arch goes off.
Good Lord.
9 of 12, 223 yards, 4 touchdowns, and 3 carries for 53 yards in a long touchdown.
Well, yeah, two of those were sacks because he ran for 67.
That was crazy.
And he stunted on that that DB. He stuck a foot in the ground and made him look silly.
And that means Texas is our new number one team in the country now.
And I would say that Texas is deserving of that.
They are.
They look like the best team in the country. Both sides of the ball, their quarterback room is the best quarterback room in the country, and it's not close.
Yeah.
When you've got those... You have two NFL quarterbacks.
Yeah. Arch Manning looked good. He looked good against Texas San Antonio. We'll see, though, how long, you know, this sidelines Quinn Ewers for.
The good news is that Texas's schedule does allow for this. They have Louisiana Monroe, then Mississippi State before they hit a back-to-back. They get the Red River rivalry. They get Oklahoma at home, and then they get Georgia at home.
Well, Oklahoma, that's in the Cotton Bowl.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So that's the neutral site game. So you get the Red River rivalry after UL Monroe, and then you have Georgia. He better be good for that game. But Arch Manning, defending the Manning speed. Remember, he's not Peyton or Eli's kid.
No, he's Cooper, who was a wide receiver.
Yeah, he was the athlete. He got all of the speed.
It's just that Cooper's back was made of string.
Yeah, but Arch went off, lived up to the hype, man.
Yeah, that
he looked really good.
That's not a Bronny James right there. He's every bit of the five-star.
All right, let's start the 1 o'clock hour off with a little... You want to go Apple Cup?
Let's go.
Let's go Apple Cup, baby. How about them Cougs? Mm. Next on The Fan.
Oh, Jamarian Meringue.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever. And the worst part? Hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.